Music and Booze with Mo is produced and distributed by Eats Drinks TV, a service of the Center for Culinary Culture, home of the Cocktail Collection, and First Reel Entertainment, and is available wherever fine podcasts can be heard. The Center for Culinary Culture, telling the story of food and drink, one taste at a time. Welcome to Music and Booze with Mo. I'm Mo Herms, and I've worked in the music industry most of my life, so have met some pretty amazing musicians over the years. I also love a good cocktail, and I've encountered some really interesting bartenders as well. It seems that there's a lot of crossover, so when I can, I like to talk to musicians and bartenders about music and booze. Join us at the bar, won't you? Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by Barkeeper, a head shop for cocktail lovers, located at 614 North Hoover Street in Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Stop by for barware, vintage glassware, a carefully curated collection of spirits, and one of the most impressive selections of bitters anywhere. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook for information regarding spirits tastings. That's barkeepersilverlake.com and also in the Virgil Village neighborhood of Silver Lake, Los Angeles. This is another one of those interviews where I'm very, very grateful for online communications, because it would have been tricky for me to get to Singapore to talk to Gerald Koo, although I would really, really love to go there to visit one of the world's best bars, Stegold Flamingo. I was intrigued by them because on all of their messaging, they state their rock and roll attitude, and when I got to meet Gerald, I found out how true that was. So he's going to tell us all about, having long hair and wearing eyeliner while bashing drums in a hard rock band, and also supporting his school time with bartending, which eventually led to Stegold Flamingo. So, maybe tease your hair out a little bit for this one.
I was looking at Stegold Flamingo. I was really intrigued because what kept popping up was the rock and roll aesthetic part, that there's a bit of rock and roll to the things that you do. And when I reached out to you and you wrote back to me that you were in charge of the music program, I was like, then Gerald must be a little rock and roll. So you were the perfect person to talk to. So if you don't mind, introduce yourself and tell me what you do, what your role is within the Stegold community.
Sure. My name is Gerald Koo, and people know me here by Gerald. So Koo is my surname and my last name. And I am the co-founder and creative director of a new bar called Stegold Flamingo, located in Singapore. So this month, we turned 2 years old.
Congratulations. And
thank you.
That's great.
Thank you. Recently got the ranking of number 32 on Asia's 50 best bars. And I have two co-founders as well. So this concept really started about 3 years ago when I was still at Jigger & Pony. And I've been with them for about 8 years before I had this idea that came about. Because to be honest, I have had no inkling of opening a business before. I have no vision of running a bar before, except for running somebody else's bar. So all this thing about running a business, owning a business is totally new, and I was not expecting that to come my way. But I guess somewhere along the career and the progression of my development, I think it just kind of fall into place. And I think that Diageo World Class also had a big role in shaping this entrepreneurship and vision. And yeah, I kind of would always credit a little of that Kickstarter in me towards the Diageo World Class.
Wow. Yeah. So when did you first start to bartend?
I first started bartending about 15 years ago
Ooh.
when I was 19.
Mm-hmm.
And today I'm 33. So that is about 14 years ago. I'm sorry.
Wow. Wow. That's, well, I mean, that's a good chunk of time to be bartending, but to move into ownership is a pretty big step. So
it is.
Even though you said you weren't thinking about it, it sounds like you had all the tools. So when you first started bartending, what was that job like? How did you, how, what was your learning process like? Because I know in Singapore, the community is a little different with bars than it is here in the States. So what was your very first bar experience as a bartender?
So a lot of stories I hear around how bartenders got into bartending, it was very similar to mine. In fact, number one, I wasn't from a very well-to-do family. So I had to find my own source of expense and cost of living to get by. Number two, I was a student in an interior design school. So keeping up with the cost of presentation boards and buying materials for creating spatial models was just weighing me down as well. And I had a band on the side.
So you had a band?
Yeah, I was in a band. Just imagine a lanky, tall guy with long hair going to design school and then going to the jamming studios after that.
Nice, nice. I'm into it.
It is. Thank you. And so, yeah, we required a lot of rehearsal funds going for studio sessions. We also released an EP of 5 tracks. And of course, we needed beer money.
Yep.
So all that made me find a job that was paying enough and on the good hours, on the better hours, basically after school, something that kept me up to that wouldn't interrupt my school sessions. So at the start, I was working at Starbucks.
Okay. Here's the coffee part of it then.
Yeah, that was my first real F&B exposure. And then I moved on to working in a bar just because that it paid more. Yeah, so my first job was a part-time server at a reputable rooftop bar, which is sadly now demolished because the whole building, as you know, in Singapore, a lot of the buildings get refreshed every 10, 20 years.
Los Angeles is like that too.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. It's taken a long time for Los Angeles to appreciate its history. So, yes, I understand.
So, yeah, that was my first job in the nightlife industry. At the start, I wasn't too intrigued by working in the nightlife. I enjoyed being on the other side of it.
Yeah.
But working there, I was really mesmerized by the bartenders behind the bar. Although it wasn't a real, it wasn't a full-fledged cocktail bar. But in that year, which was 2009, we were slinging out a lot of cocktails, and largely the classics like Mojito was one of the best sellers. So as I was saying, I was very intrigued and mesmerized by the bartenders behind the bar because it felt like they were on stage, and I like being on stage. That's why I was in the band. Yeah, and I was the one that was at the back, the drummer, the one that is always a little bit more quiet, but you know, running the engine and the motor of the band and the music. So I can see all that coming into the different personalities behind the bar from the bartenders. So one guy will be the front man leading, you know, churning out all the drinks. There'll be a guy behind keeping up with the glasses by washing the dirty ones. Then there'll be someone who's watching the dockets, so on and so forth. So it kind of worked in that same synergy that I kind of like, wait a minute.
So you already knew it. It was familiar to you.
Yeah.
How to function in a group like that.
Yeah. And it was a tight team of like 5 people behind a bar usually on a Friday night. Right. And the place that I worked at was designed like a stage. The bar was in the middle and it was kind of elevated. And where all the seating was kind of like a big square rooftop. So it reminded me a lot of when audiences was looking up the stage in that manner. Yeah.
That's so cool. I love hearing that.
That was my first bar.
It is not the first time that I've heard this comparison of a bar team and a band, you know, creating something together like that. And that's amazing that you were doing both at the same time and that it felt really natural for you to do that.
It felt
so cool. I love that. So at what point do you still play music? Or are you still in a band?
I'm not in the band anymore.
Okay.
But recently we are trying to piece together a industry band.
Oh,
so me and
so
a couple
cool.
of other bartenders, bar managers, and brand ambassador we had two jam sessions over the past 2 months.
So maybe.
Fine, amidst our busy schedules.
So back in the early days at your first bar, it sounds like you were juggling a lot. You were in school, you were in a band, you were working, but I guess when you're young, it's easier to do all of that because you don't need to sleep quite as much, right?
Correct. Correct. And there wasn't much on my mind rather than it was just, okay, tomorrow's school.
Pay the bills.
That's what,
get through school, do your band.
Yeah, that was fun. That was fun.
I was going to say, it sounds like that job, having that bar job, wasn't too much of a burden in a sense. I mean, a job is always a job, right? When you're young, especially. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like since you found the correlation, you know, between the band and the being in the bar, you know, that made it appealing. So did you stay within the bar community after that?
So when I worked at that bar, I started off as a server for 3 months. And it was after 3 months that I graduated from school. So right after I graduated, I didn't even attend the graduation ceremony. I switched to becoming a full-time bartender right after that. But only for a short lift of 8 months before I got called up for national service, which is a mandatory military service of 2 years for every Singaporean male. Yeah, so unfortunately, I had to leave the bar to go to wearing uniforms and marching.
I guess it's
and
not as fun as being in a band or bartending, right? But that's only 2 years.
That's
so
only
once
2 years.
That was over and you were back in civilian life, then where did you take yourself?
So right after civilian life, I was at a crossroads. So I was an interior design student. And naturally in Singapore, you would find the general population going towards a steady and stable office job. At that point of time, bartending wasn't considered a reputable career as of yet. It was still had a bad reputation or not so glamorous reputation. Yeah, you wouldn't. No, my parents wouldn't want. My parents thought that it was always a temporary thing.
Well, it sounds like two of your passions are not the most stable of being in a band. I'll say it's a little similar in the States. I think the bartender thing became a little more reputable probably around that time, the late 2000s, 2010, around there.
Okay.
So you weren't alone. Your parents were not the only parents thinking
I always find myself being the creative one, and sometimes the rebel of the family. So right after military, I was looking for a interior design job to kickstart my career. But at the same time, it was the same year that Jigger and Pony was open. Opened its doors in 2012 to 2013. So I remember one afternoon or one evening where I was just browsing through this bar on a website. I believe Instagram wasn't a thing back then. And I saw that the bar, I was immediately drawn to the back bar and the design of Jigger and Pony. It is not the one currently at Amara Hotel. It was the first Jigger and Pony at Amoy Street. So it has this alluring Japanese bar design that is still quite modern, you know, with the bartenders in a waistcoat, white shirt, shaking a 3-piece shaker with a back bar full of booze. So that was kind of calling out to me to say, hey, wait a minute, are you sure you want to do design? Yeah. So I kind of asked around and sent in my application because I've always wanted to explore the Japanese side of bartending. And I thought that was a good chance for me or a good time for me to explore before I had to really kickstart my career. So I gave myself 1 year to try bartending before I said, all right, I'm going to go back to my desk-bound job.
Yes, the degree that you have, yes.
Yeah. 1 year became 2 years, 2 years became 3 years. I remember after 2 years, I enrolled in school again to get a degree in interior design with the hopes that in another year or two time, I would join a design firm for real. 3 years became four, four became six, and now I own and run a bar.
So, well, what a turn of events. I have to ask, did you have a hand in the design of your bar?
I'm glad I did not. I'm glad we hired a professional interior designer. Because here's what I realized, Mo, because the first bar that anybody creates, or even for me, my own point of view is that when I created the first bar, it was very emotional driven. And I believe that if I were to be the one doing the interior design, it would not have resulted in the way it looked today. Just because I have this fixed sense of what a bar should look like. And that might not be what suited the vision and the character of Stable Flamingo.
Oh, that's
so yeah, I was glad we engaged a professional interior designer to have a proper assessment of it.
That's interesting because I would have assumed that you would have used the opportunity to use your all that schooling to do that.
I would.
But I was also thinking whether understand.
I could charge the company a design fee that could pay off
like
my,
you'd be a consultant. And that's about the time she walked away from me. Nobody likes you when you're 23. And you still act like you're in freshman year. What the hell is wrong with me? My friends say I should act my age. That's about the time that she broke up with me. No one should take themselves so seriously. With many years ahead to fall in line, why would you wish down on me? I never wanted to act my age. There. So something else about Stagold Flamingo is the music program, which you said is your baby because you're the rock and roller. But I want to roll back a bit and talk to you about your band. Tell me what your band was like.
Right. So
you play drums, you said.
I play drums.
And when did you start playing drums? How old were you?
I started when I was 10 years old. The first band that I was trying to mimic was Blink-182, Travis Barker. And I was, in fact, before that, I was learning the guitar from my brother. Acoustic guitar. We were learning a song by Oasis. And I think I remember feeling like, I'm not going to compliment my brother by playing the guitar too. I can compliment him by playing drums. So, and it felt more natural for me because all my life, and here's what I realized today, that after running a bar for 2 years, that I'm very gut driven. I'm very driven by gut feeling.
Nice.
And I think that drove me to becoming more inclined to being a drummer because it was more gut. It's an instrument that requires more gut than reading off scores and chords and progression and skills.
It's a lot more instinctual, so, I think.
Correct, yeah. Correct.
You're just feeling that. And now this is when we...
So that explains everything comes together.
There you go.
I was 10 years old. I was learning drums, self-taught, because as my family wasn't well to do, we couldn't really afford professional classes. So it was a lot of, there was no Google back then, there was no smartphones. So me going to the library to borrow books about music, I was looking at how does the drum look like from the drummer's point of view. And I always thought that the bass drum was just a decoration to hold up the toms. Little did I know that there was a kick pedal.
A kick pedal in there,
yeah. So that kind of blew my mind because that was pretty ingenious, I thought, at 10 years old. Yeah. So I was playing self-taught and I got a small chance to play with a few bands here and there. Just a few random jam sessions. And when I was 14, 15 years old, I remember I was watching the very famous movie, School of Rock. Through watching School of Rock, I was introduced to AC/DC.
Ah.
Because that was the theme song, right? It's a long way to the top. Mm-hmm. And that kind of all hell's broke loose from there on. You know? From Blink-182 to AC/DC. And from AC/DC, I went on to discover Metallica, Guns N' Roses.
So you went into like metal, the hard rock side.
Yeah, I went back in time.
Well, but that's where all the drumming is.
Exactly.
If you like these animal beast drummers, that's where you got to go.
Although I must say that from Travis Barker to Chad Smith and to John Bonham, they're all sick. They're all my idols. Yeah. Yeah, so I went back in time in terms of music, and that's how I discovered all these great bands from the 80s and the 70s. And wait, what was the question again?
Oh, it was just, when did you start playing? That's basically right. It. I'd love to hear the stories of how you progressed, you know. I mean, these are the people that you're naming off. I mean, yes, they're heroes. People who don't play drums, people who don't play music, have heard these names because, like you were saying, the drummers are often in the background, right? And more often than not, the most jokes about a member of the band are about the drummer.
Right.
If you didn't have a drummer, I mean, even the White Stripes just had two people in the band, and one was the drummer. So you have to have someone to propel the song, you know, and that's the drummer. Yeah. So I understand. Correct. So I was asking. I think part of the question
about my band.
Yeah, it's a multifaceted question. How did you get to your band? So you had a band, and you mentioned that you guys had recorded EPs.
Yes.
So this was a band with after some discovery. You had intention to get somewhere. You had intention.
Yeah, we did. And we'll get there shortly.
Okay.
So my band, let me just remind you back a little bit to I discovered AC/DC, and I discovered a band called Motley Crue, Skid Row, and Guns N' Roses. So this was the three band that changed my life forever. For some reason, I was immediately hooked to that style of, you can call it rock, you call it metal. I was really drawn to glam metal and hair metal in particular. And I believe it was the groove of it, the rhythm of it, and the look, the glamorous look. And it just felt like, hey, I think my past life was part of being in this band. it was natural to be inclined to that. So then the band I went on to form was a glam metal band. We called ourselves Gutter Bones.
Gutter Bones?
Yeah, Gutter Bones.
Oh, that's good.
Like bones in the gutter bones.
That's good.
And it was a 5-piece band. The requirement was not whether or not you could play the guitar or the bass well. The requirement was, as like any glam metal band, is that you have to dress the part. You have to leave the part. Yeah, the first assessment is that you own a leather jacket, you have a shoulder length hair, or you're growing out your hair, and you must have eyeliner on.
I was gonna say lipstick, but something like that. Oh, amazing. Something like that.
Yeah,
amazing.
So that was the start of it when we created this band. And three of the members, including me, we were from the same school. So we already started playing in school. And when we went on to form this band, we managed to find the two other rockers from the local community. And since then, it was 2 years. We lasted 2 to 3 years. But I would always say that those days were the best time in my life.
Oh.
Because it really gave me that avenue to express my personality, my teenage angst. And the first taste of kickstarting a career.
Yeah.
Being a musician.
Yeah.
So we wanted to do an EP. We had vision to create a full album. And I'm not sure about the rest. I hope they did, but I always wanted to tour the world as a touring musician with my own band. So at 17 years old, I thought that could work. Now at 33, I have a soft spot for thinking that could work. But reality is harsh.
I guess at some point you realize maybe I can't make a living making music and find something else. But I also, it also, as someone, I've been very fortunate to work in the music industry my entire life. And I've heard so many amazing bands that other people don't get to hear. And that's because the world is unfair.
It is.
I'm sure you understand that very much.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how far did you guys get?
So we've got to record an EP. That's first. Secondly, we did our own shows because in Singapore, there was not a lot of places that had live bands and certainly not the kind of music that we were playing.
Yeah.
And we started to organize our own shows where we would have a small lineup of 5 rock and roll bands and we would have our own audiences. We would rent out a live music venue. And we also had a change of singer because we wanted to take things more seriously. So not to say that the previous singer was not into it, but because he was already conscripted into military, the time that he had for the band was much less.
Coming to a close.
Correct. And we also found a guy who also had better vocal ability. And
does that mean this person could commitment. Scream?
a little bit. He could also sing. So as the band progressed, we were going into a different kind of genre that was a bit more prevalent in Sweden, which was sleaze metal. So we were very influenced by a resurgence of new age glam metal band, and they called it sleaze metal. So it was a band called Crash Diet. It was a band called Sister that kind of we took our direction from there on. So it was a bit heavier and darker and a touch more darker lyrics. So it was more about struggles rather than party. It was more about so that struggles really struck me because it was talking about the same struggles that I had with regards to fitting into society, with regards to financials, with regards to living a different. It was very existential. And I kind of like that, you know. I kind of like
great.
That at 18 years old, at 19 years old.
Yeah,
I get a question love about it. Life.
Yeah, for sure. And you're just wondering why you have been dealt the hand that you have been dealt.
Yeah.
You know.
Correct.
And how do you get out of that and the frustrations and everything? Oh, I love that. That's you are a proper rock and roller. This is wonderful.
I always like to say I am.
I think so. Well, now I think the question is how did that aesthetic translate to Stay Gold Flamingo? You have this bar called Stay Gold Flamingo, and you run the music program there. And I don't think you're going to be playing that kind of rock and roll there, but you can still play rock and roll. So how have you made this work for today? Now that you are successful, you're a business owner, you're in a completely different place now, I would think.
Yes. So 2 years into the band, I got conscripted into military as well. And that's when the band started to fall apart, because there was not enough push from the other members as well. So once we went our separate ways, or once we decided, I wouldn't say that we went our separate ways, but once we decided to not continue the band, I made sure that I kept the jacket, the really important Dilla jacket with the punk look. And a lot of the artwork. I was kind of in charge of doing all the artwork.
The look.
The urban art. Yeah, the look. And that jacket now hangs in the rock star corner of Stego Flamingo.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. I was almost, what's the word should I use? I almost had to throw that jacket away at one point in my life because Asian moms like to tell you, stop keeping out the clutter.
Oh, you know what? You know? My husband will tell you I'm the exact same way.
Yeah. There'll be someone in the household to kind of clear the junk.
Yep. I don't like keeping things around for sentimental reasons. If it's just taking up space, then it has to go.
Oh, dear. But I kind of like keeping things for sentimental reasons.
So does my husband. However, if you can make use of it, like you have, it serves a purpose, right?
10 years later, yes, I managed to make use of that.
I hope your mom knows that.
Yes, yes. Well, I posted a photo of it on Instagram once, and I had a last line to say, "P.S. Mom, this jacket finally has a place."
Yep. Yeah. Oh, that's great. I love it.
So, how did the band influence the space or the places that? Number one, when we spoke to our designer, we really went through with the details of what the brand is really about, what the elements are. I even gave them the two playlists that we had for the bar to reference to while they were designing.
Oh, that's
so that they
cool.
They could have a vibe and a feel of what it's going to be like. And then we also had a guy who did our brand identity, our branding. And I think the beautiful part is that this designer or this dude has been friends with me since our band days. Not that he's in the band, but he knows
that part of you really well.
Yeah, and he was also into the same music. So when I also ran through the brief with him, he came up with our logo. He came up with our colors, and then the designers used those colors to translate into the space. So that signature blue, pink, and maroon came from our branding designer. And I think that sets us apart from a lot of other cocktail bars because it was not just the same old copy and paste colors anymore. Yeah, it was a little bit more. I was also very inspired by this movie, La La Land.
Oh,
yeah.
I love that movie.
I can see that resemblance of the colors.
There's a lot of that blue. That sort of, it's like a deep electric blue almost.
Correct.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I was a little bit unsure at the start because it was a really different look of what a bar or what a cocktail bar was. It was almost like a dive bar instead. So I made sure that we steered the ship very carefully that we don't fall into what a dive bar was.
I made sure we think don't... a dive bar is, right?
Yeah. Because we wanted to create a cocktail bar. And I was also very worried that the music that I chose, which was a lot of rock and roll, would then attract more male customers who naturally would go for beers and whiskey in a bar that plays rock and roll. And probably the female population would not be so inclined. But 2 years in, I'm happy to say that we have always maintained that 70% of female patrons and 30% male.
Yay!
Not the end yet. I'm still we are working hard to make sure that we stay this way.
Yes.
So that came with a lot of calibration as well, and comfort level. I believe that a bar has to be designed very comfortably for the end user from a designer's point of view, and from a bar operator point of view, it has to be the most comfortable for the ladies. And when a bar is the most comfortable for ladies, then that's when the females will feel safe at the place, going to a bar like that.
Yeah.
You know, you need to balance out this the look of the rock and roll look with comfort.
So what's the playlist like? I have to know.
Right. So the playlist is a great mix, a very eclectic mix of largely rock and roll music from the 70s, from the 80s, even the 90s, and mixed with hip hop and R&B, some funk,
nice,
a dash of indie.
Yeah, okay. So it has a little something for everyone then.
Yes, yes. I will even say there's a splash of house.
Ooh, that's so, maybe not for a Friday night or something.
Yeah, at 10, 11 p.m. There are no barriers anymore for genres in the bar at 11 p.m. on a Friday night. So it is a playlist that is ongoing and always building every day. I have been building this playlist for the past 6 years.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And every time I walk into a store and I hear that, hey, that is a great track for a bar, I Shazam it and then I put it into the playlist. Yeah. The most memorable one was when I walked into LV to find a pair of earrings for my fiance. And it was this kind of house music playing. And I thought, that's quite weird for a high-end luxury store. And I like that tension because I think tension is something that makes people remember you by, you know. So creating a space that is kind of street and rock and roll with a touch of posh and with that background track that is a bit of a house, you know, it's all a great mix together. And I think that is something that is a different flavor for us, at least. Yeah, so that is in summary what our playlist is. In the day when we run the cafe, there is also a different playlist. So Stego is the cocktail bar at the back, and Flamingo is our coffee cafe bar in the front, 20-seater. Day vibes.
Yes.
So we play a bit more acoustic music, a bit of daytime disco.
Ooh, fun. Oh, that's nice. You know,
indie.
Yeah, yeah.
That's rock and roll.
Yeah, it's that that cafe house, that coffee house kind of vibe. You know, I can see that. But I like that you have a little funk in the daytime coffee house kind of vibe.
Yes, yes. So a lot of the cafes that I know, the playlist, they were playing whatever the barista feel like playing. But I kind of went ahead and created a playlist to make sure that there is always a set playlist that the place is playing. Just so that I believe that people has a subconscious memory and feeling for music in the place, right? And that makes them want to go back or not.
So I would say people don't really notice the music unless it's really bad or really great. But I think if it's really bad, then they really notice and they don't want to come back. But if they don't really notice it, that means it's comfortable and it's, you know, they're there and they're with it. So they stay.
Yes. And I believe you would agree as well that a well-curated music program would speak about the personality and the identity of the brand. Yeah, and I kind of
absolutely
always work with that now. So a rule of thumb for my playlist is that we tend to avoid music that you can hear on the radio. Those music that you can hear on the radio that will get people up and dancing, we do have them, but we only play them on Fridays at 11 p.m. When you play Backstreet Boys and Britney Spears, that drive the crowd wild.
Oh,
I'm okay with that for 1 hour. Taylor Swift. Really drive the crowd wild when you play Taylor Swift now.
Don't tell me, here in Los Angeles, she just did 5 nights here. And then the next month, everyone got COVID. And I'm like, oh, everyone went to those shows.
Oh, yeah.
I had a question for you about the creating the drinks. Do you create drinks there as well? Are any of these your children?
For drinks wise, I leave it to our team of very capable bartenders now.
Okay.
I try to stay relevant by creating one or two. But instead, what I really do is to create the concept of the menu or the title of the menu. And then I let them run the drinks that they want to put into this concept of the menu. So the first menu that we had is called Trinity. Very simple menu, all classics. It was about the triangle where we had three ingredients. And that is the holy trinity of a classic cocktail. If you talk about old-fashioned, daiquiri, they're all three ingredients.
Yeah.
So for our first menu, we wanted to keep it simple because no R&D space, no time for crazy experimentation. Yeah. So we kept it simple. And then move on to the second menu. It's called Alter Ego. So again, the name is a bit edgy and dangerous as well. And kind of like, wait, what is Alter Ego? So it's about discovering an alternative personality through ingredients, through flavors. So for example, we talk about plum. We have two drinks that showcases two different ways of trying plum. Same for absinthe and same for another ingredient called ginger flower. Yeah. And the two other section is flavors. And I wish you could be here to try it.
I know, I wish I could too.
One day we'll make it across.
One day, yes.
To the US.
Trust me, I need to get to Singapore. There's a lot there for me to see.
Have you been here?
I've never been to Singapore, no. I would love to. I think my liver might regret it. But I'm a professional. Well, how about, have you been able to do any musical-themed offerings, any of your menus? Not yet.
I did some in the past when I was still competing in the Diageo World Class. So I made a drink. If I can remember correctly, it was a drink that was inspired by The Who.
Ooh.
Yeah, The Who. No, guys, that's really the band name.
It is The Who. Yeah.
Yeah, The Who.
And actually, a question I always like to ask when I'm kind of wrapping things up is for you yourself, you know, I know for a lot of people, especially when you're running a business like this, when you go home, you don't have anything to do with drinking anymore or any of that. But I always have to ask, when you're home and you have some time for yourself, or maybe you're sitting with your fiance, do you have a little cocktail for yourself? And what kind of music are you listening to? Like, what is your... I'm alone now. This is what I really like. I want a beer and I want to listen to Motley Crue. You know, what is it? Or actually, I should say whiskey and Motley Crue, really. What is it for you these days?
I don't want to disappoint you, but I've been cutting back drinking.
No, that's why I say, I think for a lot of people at this, you know, once you're in the business, the drinking kind of takes very much a backseat, especially we're older now too. You know, it's...
Correct.
You gotta pace yourself out.
Correct. So for now, I don't drink at home because number one, I'm still living with my parents. So I seldom drink at home. I'm moving into my own house next month. Yeah. So I believe there might be some bottles of wine and beer lying in the fridge that I could imbibe once in a while. But just one.
Just one, yes.
And yeah, just one. So right now, if I have time, what I will do is I often throw back a good movie or two. I like to rewatch old films. The one that I will rewatch when I move into my new house, and I'm keeping that for that, is Titanic.
Oh, so you can have a very romantic intro when you come to your home.
That's one. And number two, I like to look at the set from a different perspective.
Oh.
I find that when we rewatch movies, we at different stages of your life, you look for different things.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm sure I will rewatch La La Land again just to, you know, pick up different things again. So apart from that, I'm actually learning DJ right now.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yeah, I'm learning how to DJ. So when I'm have a time, when I have 1 hour or 2 hour, I will throw myself into the deck to practice scratching,
Oh, that's not
turntablism,
easy. It's
mixing.
not easy to learn. What kind of stuff
It is.
are you mixing right now? What are you teaching yourself with?
So my teacher had just taught me scratching. And before that, I was getting pretty familiar with mixing. So I do a lot of, again, it's a very eclectic mix.
It has
so I
to
go
be.
from, yeah, I go from blues to R&B.
Oh, wow.
To a bit of house. But it's not so successful yet. So
It
I'm
takes some
keeping
time.
it, yeah, I'm keeping it safe to the R&B and a bit of hip hop and rock and roll.
Oh, that's wonderful. Okay, well, that sounds like a
Yeah.
good point to wrap this all up in and or wrap this up, sorry. And so I'm having problems speaking. Because I was thinking it's about something I want to share with you when we're done with this. So don't go away, but do tell people about how to contact you, Stay Gold, the, you know, the socials, the Instagrams, the website. Go ahead and list all those things off for everyone right now.
Sure. So you can find out more about Stay Gold Flamingo on Instagram. We are very active there. And our website is www.staygoldflamingo.com. And from there, you can also find me on Instagram as well. Or if you want to find me directly, it's JERROLD, Gerald, Rebel Fever.
Okay, there we go. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with me today.
Thank
about
you.
All of this.
A big thank you to Gerald Koo for educating me on the Singapore hard rock scene, as well as telling me all about Stay Gold Flamingo and so much more. If you want to find him on the socials, Gerald is at Gerald, JERROLD, Rebel Fever on Instagram. And then it's at Stay Gold Flamingo if you want to follow the bar. Thanks so much, Gerald. It was amazing to talk to you. And I wish I could just travel all the time because I cannot wait to get to Singapore. Oh yeah, and Gerald actually made us a Power Ballads playlist. So head on over to Mo Herms on Spotify so you can listen to that. Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by The Mermaid, a cozy neighborhood bar with an aquatic flair in the Little Tokyo area of downtown LA. Open 7 days a week, featuring tropical cocktails and snacks, The Mermaid also has a daily happy hour from 5 to 8 p.m. Follow The Mermaid on Instagram at The Mermaid LA to hear about upcoming events and check them out at themermaidla.com. Head to 428 East 2nd Street, Los Angeles, for a drink. Thank you for tuning in to our barroom chats on Music and Booze with Mo. For more info about today's guest, or if you want to connect with me, check out my Facebook page, Mo Herms. Please subscribe to the podcast and feel free to tell all your friends about it. While you're there, give the show a rating and a review. It really helps to get the word out. If you want to hear the playlists our guests have curated, search She Be Mo on Spotify, SHEBMO. Find pictures of the interviewees and the cool stuff they create on the Music and Booze with Mo Instagram account. Lower your expectations and join us at the bar. Till next time, cheers.